for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 24th, 2002. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Bill Smith, Fort Worth, Texas, is the minister of the morning.
There is a word of prophecy that's ringing in my spirit. God says, I've brought you from the four winds. Even though it's a date that's on the Lake Hamilton Bible calendar, the date was placed in the eons of time that God would bring us together. That we would behold His glory because God's bringing us for an eternal change. Not something that we enjoy for a little season and then we're going to do our separate ways. But Brother Henry, an eternal work that God is doing within our lives. And God said, I brought you here for this purpose, to bring change in your life and to bring you into the place that I destined you from birth, even before you were born, that I destined for you to be. So I believe it's time that God allow God to change our hearts and our lives. Don't you? Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. We always enjoy coming to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We'd like to come to all of them, but sometimes we just can't make it. And we were trying to be here at Passover, and we did everything we could here, but the river was flowing in our church. And it wasn't the spiritual river, it was literal. And down in the basement, and we were being flooded down from the 8.5 inches rain. But anyway, I called Brother Glenn and I said, we can't make it, brother, because we're pumping water around the clock. But at the same time, and I went in and I said, God, you said everything works together for the good to them that are thee called according to your purpose. I don't see anything good in this. But God, whatever you want us to learn, that's what we're going to learn in this. I don't know about you, but last year was my worst best year of our entire life. Is that contradictory? Last year, I'd never been to the doctors, and I said, I hate to be so stupid because I don't know anything about none of this. And they said, well, you're not stupid. You just ain't never needed us. So they gave me the big C word. And then at the same time, I take my wife and run her into the emergency youth, who's been my wife from our youth, and we were teenagers when we were married. Then attacking my family. And I want to tell you what it did. It drove me to the feet of Jesus. I located His feet afresh in a new way. And then God began to turn things around. Praise the Lord. So you see, it was my worst best year of my life. Took my wife into the emergency room thinking it was a heart attack. Get in the emergency room and I say, they run her through nuclear medicine and everything, and they said, it's not a heart. But her chest was hurting so bad she couldn't stand the pain. Heart specialist came in and he said, I'm at least 86% sure that it's not a heart. But they kept on testing, and never could find the problem. She came home. A couple of days, she began to break out. She called the doctor and says, oh, you got the shingles. I thought shingles is what you put on a house. And she tells me that it's so painful. Then the enemy attacked in my family, and I said, devil, I issue a warning today. You just woke up a big old grizzly bear because I'm coming on your trail. And I said, I know that Moses took you by the tail and reduced you to the rod. But I said, I'm in the generation that we're going to bruise your head under our feet shortly. Because the Word of God says in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and you shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So I said, you just woke up a grizzly bear because we're going after you now. And I thank God for this camp. My first trip was 1978 here. Ministering the first time I came here, I think I knocked a home run with Brother Glenn. Brother Glenn, God spoke to him and said, the following March, said, I want you to go to Fort Worth and invade their camp. So Brother Glenn, Sister Irma, came to our place, met Brother Jack at our place. Brother Doc, precious, where is that precious man of God? He's not. He came to me and he says, you know, Brother Bill, you're the first man that ever talked to me anything or preached on the fivefold ministry. Well, you see, many, many years ago, that could have kind of gave me an ego trip, but you soon get the air let out of your balloon. It doesn't take God long to leave you by yourself. And He can let the air out real quick. So, then I got to thinking, maybe I did. But you know, Brother Glenn, Sister Irma, and Brother Doc talked to me and burned within my spirit the curses that was passed of all my family from down through generations, even to the third and fourth generation. And so, you see, what have we got to talk about? Because we're all learning together. Praise the Lord. And so, I'm grateful this morning for what God is doing today. In November, after I left here from the meeting, I went into Mexico, and I was in Padilla, Mexico, and they came after our pastor, Beto Calvo, and said, we want you to go with us into another place. It's probably 50 miles away. We went in my diesel, and we went to this house in a little old bitty village there. And we got in there, and there's a man that they opened up in the big hospital in Monterey and said, let's close him up immediately because there's nothing we can do for him. And said, we don't want the air because the cancer was spread so fast. Well, we got there and that's the kind of condition that I walked in on. And so we began to cry out to God and cursing that cancer. Well, I thought, well, you know, this is, God's going to take him. Well, but at the same time, there was no Christians in the village. And so our pastor, Beto Calvo, began to minister evangelistic message unto those people. They began to come walking in the door because they heard us praying. You know, us Pentecost, with a jet engine on it, we don't pray very quiet. And so, a lot of times, we Pentecost, we think that volume gives us more power. Come on, but that don't do it. So, they begin to walk in the door, raising those hands, and said, I want to get saved. And so, we would pray for them to get saved, and then they keep on passing through. Said, we want to get saved. And so, the granddaughter was having a terrible time of her grandfather going to die. So I began to sit down and I began to talk to her and got Beto. I talked to her in Spanish as far as I could go. And then when I got limited, I got Beto to interpret. And I said, if God is going to take your grandfather, look what is accomplished in this year. Look at the people that's come and gave their heart to God. Well, so then it's a custom in Mexico. If you, the man of God comes to your house, you get him a present. So, my present was 4 liters of fresh, squeezed, pure orange juice in liter bottles. And they gave that to me, and I brought it back home with me. And you know, the other day, I was in Mexico last week. I got home Thursday. And all of a sudden, Beto come running to the motorhome where I was at. He said, Brother Bill, I was in the village. And the mother just kept on kissing my right hand. And I said, and I looked at her and I said, Kipaso, what's happening? She said, the reason I'm so happy, you came here and you brought the brothers and look at my husband out there walking around. But you know what, Brother Henry? You blessed me last night. But Brother Henry, a long time ago, I cried out to God and I said, God, you bring me to the place that you can trust me. Any area that I'm trying to consume glory upon myself from what you're doing, I said, God, bring me to the place that you can trust me, that you can do whatever you need to do through me, and I'll try to take no glory. Come on, what do we see on television? You ain't had it until I give it to you. But God is telling me today that it's time for you and I to come into the place that God can trust us.
Amen.
And this is what God is doing. Now, so I praise the Lord for the privilege. Glenn thinks that I'm long-winded, but I'm really not. After a while at home, they said, I see you're not going to quit, and the day's going to pass, so I'm just going to wave the calendar. Said, you won't look at the watch, so I'm going to wave the calendar. But we'll try not to do that today. But this morning, I want to give you a word that God burned into my spirit yesterday coming down here. Like Brother Henry said last night, you see, I used to want to preach the sermon that would even tickle your ears so you'd invite me back. You'd never been there before. But anymore, I'm saying, God, I'm not after a sermon. I want the message and the messenger to become one. And this is where God is bringing us today. And I appreciate the word this morning that God gave me through Brother Doc. Now, I want you to go with me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And I want us to look here at the word of the Lord. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, everybody say, due season. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Brother and sister, I believe today that I'm tripping over my own feet. I have delayed the process that God has wanted to do in my life. I believe that I'm overdue today in the place where God called I should be farther along in God than where I'm at today. So, but in due season, I feel today that we are in due season. Approximately, every 2,000 years, God has brought forth a son. I think it's somewhere between 1,600 years from the birth of Moses to the birth of Jesus, somewhere in that category. But every 2,000 years, God has brought forth a son. And the thing of it is, the enemy is after the seed. Galatians chapter 4, verse 26 says, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. All of us is coming from out of the Jerusalem because you see, the church is becoming the city today. Now, so, we are born from above. Moses, the first son. And what was taking place? Pharaoh said, let's get rid of the seed. Let's get rid of Moses, the first son. And, of course, you know the Hebrew people, they were a move of God, and the Bible said that they were more lively than all of their brothers, the Egyptians. So when they were to birth the son, they just birthed it forth. So you see, the enemy, through Pharaoh, was after the seed. Then we come to the second son. His name is Jesus. And then we have Herod put out a command, and he said, let's get everyone 2 years old and under. Let's get the seed. Today in our big old church in Fort Worth, Texas, we don't have enough babies crying in our church. And what is taking place? The enemy is after the seed. You and I are of the seed of God, and that's why the enemy is out to destroy us every day. So, then, let's notice. Let's go into Luke chapter 9 and verse 30. Luke chapter 9, verse 30, and the Bible says, and Luke is the only one that says this, and behold, there talk with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. So you see now, here is the first son talking to the second son. And brother and sister, I want you to know the third son is in process again. Paul cried out and he said, I travail in birth again until Christ to be formed in you. Now, so you see there was conflicts going on between the first and the second. Then let's look. We come to Revelations chapter 12. And this is where we come in. Revelations chapter 12. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. All right? And the Bible says, chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder or a sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. What is she doing? She's reflecting the entire church age up to this point, even from the Garden of Eden. The moon is the reflecting light. You and I are to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth. When they look into here, they don't see Bill Smith, but they see Jesus. We sang the song at home, Jesus be Jesus in me. And this is where that we're at. But now let's notice, there is a sign in heaven. Alright? And she being with child, cried travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another sign, or a wonder, in heaven. And behold what? The great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And then what? The dragon appeared. Now, I don't know if you will accept this tonight, today or not. The enemy is out to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Those that's out there playing church and playing to be something they're not, they're pretending or wearing masks. The devil don't bother them. But if you're tearing down his kingdom and tearing down his power, he's on your trail every day. And it's just like in the book of Job. He said, Satan, where'd you come from? He said, just walking to and fro in the earth. What was he doing? He was looking for a job. But listen, we've got to keep him unemployed. We've got to bring him down to where he's not employed no longer. And so what's he doing? Walking to and fro in the earth to see. Now, a few years ago, you that have been there, Sister Louise and my sister from Philippines, Brother Jack and Sister Irma, and all of these people that's been to our church a number of times. Years ago when we had that big old auditorium loosely full of people. I thought, this is the time that we're going to do it. But you see, God has reduced us down, and even though we have grown some in the last few months or so, but yet God spoke to me and said, now, in this your state that you're in now, it looks like you may be in a barren state and a barren place, I will bring forth my son. And brother and sister, I said, God, whatever you need to do, just do it. And there's a time in my life now, I've come and I said, God, I make total surrender, total commitment. Whatever you need to do, just go ahead and do it. I don't care if I cry like a pig under a fence, don't pay no attention. Come on. It's become serious business. So now, reporting for duty. In your Bible, there are seven barren women. Remember, Abraham gets a pretty wife, but she's barren. Jacob gets a pretty wife. Isaac gets a pretty wife, but they're barren. Seven women in the Bible is barren. Brother and sister today, how many churches do we have that's barren today? I've cried out to God, and I've interceded to God for our people. And I've cried out many times, God, fill this auditorium back again with people. But I want to tell you something. God spoke to me yesterday, and He said, in this state, where it corresponds with what Brother Doc said in the Word of the Lord to me this morning. Brother and sister, I went into Mexico, and a man that you know, and I don't have to call his name because I already dealt with that in the spirit realm. And so, this man caused a lot of trouble in Mexico. And as I went in this time, I found the trail where he'd been walking the trail, trying to bring division. But how many knows the Bible says, mark them that cause division among you. So, I said, God, this is not my work. This is your work, and I turn it all over to you. And you just deal with the way you have to deal. And I've got to go on and take care of business. So this is where we're at. But you see, the barrenness of the church, many times, it's the enemy trying to deal with the seed. If the enemy can take the pastor, now here's what we have to cope with. I've been ministering almost 40 years. So you see, I started out pretty young. And the devil said this way, you mean after almost 40 years, this is all you got? Can it get any lower than that? But now I say, but devil, out of this remnant right here, we will see God, because there was 12 people that turned the world upside down, and we got way more than 12. Hallelujah to God. I said, in this barren state that it looks like we're in, we're going to see that third son will be born. And guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But now, how many of us today, Brother Jack and I, we've been brothers in the Lord since 1963. Traveled many a thousand miles together. Preached across the United States, many, many areas of the United States together. And I treasure those times. But I want to tell you something. This is the most crucial time it's ever been. Because we have a brother that we love so dearly that was a walking word. And you know what? Trouble has come. And has drove him apart from the ministry, and the church is closed. Now, how many remembers the little common scripture? 6:46. Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Then the next verse says, I will show you to whom a man is like, that not only heareth the word, but doeth the word. Now, oh yes, we come and we hear great words from the Lord, and we're so enthused about it, but we soon let them drift or slip away. But now God's telling me, you get all you can and you can't all you get. Hallelujah. And so, you see, and then he said, I want to show you to who a man is like. Not only a hearer and a doer, but he dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. And we all know that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, and this rock was Christ. So now, you said, well, it's so a common scripture. Brother and sister, I said to God, to my family, I said, it's time that we and the church to dig deeper than we've ever dug before, because we're going to dig down and lay that foundation upon the rock, because the storm is coming, and it has come, and it will be here, but it can't shake the house. It's on the rock.
Hallelujah.
So you see, what is to destroy? And the dragon stood before the woman, the church. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Then he goes on and on. He says, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Brother, I will tell you something. We need to stick close to Mama. Mama tell us what kind of hair to put on her arms, so that Daddy will bless us. Come on. Isn't that what happened? And Mama said, get that your goat hair on there, and you're going to smell like a goat, and Daddy's going to bless you. But before that, remember this. Before that, there was a prophecy that came from God. And this year, that she comes up and she says, ooh, I'm really having trouble. I'm having hard birth pains. Are you having any hard birth pains? To birth forth the Son of God in this end time? Sure we are. And she said, I got to inquire the Lord. What's wrong? God said, there's two nations in you. But right now, it's not going to follow the same old order. Brother, the order's going to change now. The elder is going to serve the younger. Come on. And so then, Jacob already had the word that Esau was going to serve him. He said, why? Oh, Esau got a bad deal. Well, the Bible says in Genesis that Esau is the man of the field. Matthew 13 says the field is the world. So, you see, this is where that we're at today. But you see, mother, mama will help us to birth forth. When we get the glory, let's ask Ruth how that Naomi helped her through the process. She come to the place, you remember, and Ruth said, only death will separate me from you. Only death. Orpha, she comes up here and gives a pretended kiss, a Judas kiss, if you please. And she pretended that she loved Naomi, but she had Bethlehem, Judea in her eye, but she had Moab in her heart. And so, you see today, this will stop the process. God wants every bit of you. He wants every bit of me. Now, that not only hear the word, but doeth the word, dig deep and lay the foundation upon the rock. Could I say again this morning, ever how high you go in God, be sure that you can still touch the foundation. Brother touched on that last night. And we're built upon the foundation of the apostle, prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, let's look. And the dragon fought with the woman. All right? But let's see what happened. How many of us today are willing to dig deep? Are you having warfare like you've never had before? Last year, I stood and I said, Satan, you take your hand off from my family. And then I had a brother that I loved so dearly that traveled with me for 7 years, ministering with me in Mexico, that spoke Spanish, not perfectly, but he did it better than I did. And so, anyway, we went into Mexico. And when the doctor said how this all came about, there was a lady that was a nurse. You see, when I first got saved, I didn't know that this would work everywhere. I thought it only worked in the church. But then I found out this is the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in here.
Yes, sir.
And see, just like they said to me last week, said, have you got the victory? I said, oh, sure. I brought him all the way to Mexico with me. He lives here. And so we're going along there. And so brother went up there and he told everybody, because I'd asked the doctor, I said, if y'all say that this prostate cancer is not all that serious and everything, could I have about 10 days that I could go into Mexico and see about the churches before that I start going through this radiation? So the doctor said, yes, you can do this. John went down there and he was telling everybody, and I was listening to him in Spanish, Bill's got cancer and he'll probably die. Bill's got cancer and he'll probably die. I said, John, take them word curses off from me. I said, the Bible, I've already read the Bible, and the Bible said in Isaiah, said, let the inhabitants say that he's not sick. And I said, now you may have it, but I don't have it. And so I said, John, the day will come when my testimony and the doctor's will be the same. Come on. And so John just kept continuing. I said, John, if I want them to know it, I'll tell them. And you know what? But John's not there now. But I wish that I could show him this report. What does it say, sir, sister? They don't say...
PSA remains undetectable. Undetectable. Great report.
This last week. This last week. So now, you see, I want them to see what the doctor says, and I want them to see if it matches their testimony. Brother and sister, we ain't getting out of here till God's through with us. And I'll tell you something else I liked last night about what Brother Henry said. Where there is no sin, you know he dealt with sin that brought forth the sickness. Where there is no sin, there is no death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verse 23.
Amen.
So this is where we're at. But now, is there warfare going on? Sometimes I say, Lord, I know you're in charge. And I don't have to see you anymore, but I know you're in charge. Because I know what you said in your word. You're able to keep that which I've committed into your hands. Now, dig down so you can do warfare. Psalms chapter 24, verses 1, said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I keep looking and looking, and I hear God saying, as Pharaoh tried to bring the seed to naught, Herod tried to bring the seed to naught, and now in mine and your day, the great dragon is trying to stop the third son. And listen, Moses was a singular son. Jesus was a singular son. But the third one is a corporate son. That's every one of us to make up this company. So you said, oh, Sister Louise is a great lady. She has really been a friend of ours for several years. She comes to our conventions. And a lot of time we'll say, well, you know, Sister Louise has got it all. She don't think that. She don't say that neither. But brother and sister, whether you know it or not, you need me and I need you. Because this is a corporate son, a many-member body that God is building today. And brother and sister, if you're looking for the great one again, it's not going to happen. It's over with. It's going to be a corporate son now. It's going to take every one of us to bring this about. There'll be no big I's and little U's. Come on. This is where we're at. But you see, if I can get you out there and get you to act in yourself... And last Sunday night a week ago, was way in the jungles, 35 miles from the last electrical pole. But God has blessed us, and the government of Mexico has put us in the solar lights now. And I was dumb enough that I was going to put my razor and plug it into the plug so I could charge up my razor a little more. How many know solar electricity don't have plugs? It's a 12-volt light.
Yeah.
So, thank God. And, you know, we had probably over 400 people stretched out in the courtyard because the building would no longer hold them. And some night, and I said, God, if we don't move heaven, nothing's going to be accomplished in this congregation. Come on. A good word is wonderful. But praise God, it's like brother said last night. It takes the anointing to destroy the yokes. And brother and sister, we got to break the yokes off of God's people. And we've got to break the yokes off of ourselves. Hallelujah, God, that we can walk out there and bring deliverance to growing and travailing creation. How many knows they're just waiting? Waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God, and we're saying, oh Lord, help me make it. Help me make it. I never will forget, was in that, I know everybody's heard about the big steakhouse in Amarillo, Texas. Brother Jack was there. He was with me that night. Me and Brother Jack, G.C. McCurry, several others in that steakhouse. And so they were singing, come around and singing. So they run over and they grabbed the violin. They were good musicians, and they got to our table and sang, I fly away. So pretty soon they got up and sang. Said, help me make it through the night. So Brother McCurry said, well, there's more truth in that one than the other one. Brother and sister, God is interested in bringing you forth in the spirit of Elijah in this earth. Hallelujah. Well, what did Elisha say? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? It's time that we see the power of God in this earth setting creation free.
Amen.
Many people said this year, Brother Doc came and talked to me about it. I said, oh, what a convention that you had. But we started out weeks and weeks ahead on our face before God, and I said, we don't want to just come together and have good food to eat and just have fellowship. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus in the temple. And brother and sister, Malachi said he's coming to the temple. Hallelujah, God. And this is the temple of God. I believe it's time that we see Jesus and not man no longer.
Amen.
Now, but stood before the woman. Are you having hand-to-hand combat with the enemy that you haven't had before? I think we have some answers. All right? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, what's taking place? He's tried to stop the first one. And you know, I don't know how the devil could be so dumb. You know, all the time, God was raising up a deliverer. God's raising up deliverers today. Now, all of a sudden, Moses is born in a hut. But he was raised in a palace. The most learned man which could have in line for the next Pharaoh. And here is Pharaoh, as dumb as a rock. He is schooling and educating the very one that's going to overthrow his kingdom. Is that true? Now, what do you think's happening today? You see, the devil, he's a servant without pay. Now, what happened? So, Moses, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis and said, in the fourth generation, I'm going to send forth a deliverer. His name was Moses. Now, brother and sister, today, God is raising up deliverers today that's going to fill this earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covered the sea. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. That's what the Bible said. For the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the water covereth the sea. Now, brother and sister, does that sound like that the enemy is in charge? I can't drink this like Brother Doc does. But you know, at home, I've been living in Fort Worth, Texas since I was a teenager. And I've never seen the wickedness that we have in our city. So even though we own all of that property there in Fort Worth, we don't need a church facing 26th Street there, a new building. We don't need that. We need what we're doing in our building to do the works of Jesus. It's not another building. It's what we are today to bring forth the works of Jesus in this earth. That's what's going to turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children and the hearts of the children unto the fathers. But standing before the church, why is the enemy working day and night today? He wants to overthrow you, discourage you, bring you down in the state that you are. When you come into full maturity, he won't be able to deal with you. Come on. Last night, as I was next door to Brother Jack, we first went to bed. Brother Jack was having a hard time. I laid over in my room and I said, I cursed the very roots of that respiratory problem. I go for the root of the matter. I'm going for the jugular vein. I want to deal with that thing that's hampering Brother Jack. That's one of the greatest apostles that I've ever walked with. He was true in the beginning, and all of these years later, he's still true before God. So, but you see what the enemy... Listen, you think that you've heard this man teach the word. You ought to have heard it when years back, traveling across this nation, teaching the word of God and teaching the ways of God. And brother and sister, I have a problem. And when I was 19 years of age, I said, God, I will never cry out. I want to be what I used to be. I'm not going to be a used to be. I am a now in God, serving a now God that's going to bring us into this position in Him. He's not going to be. He is. God is. Now, but the dragon, what? This standing before this woman and to devour her child as soon as it was being born. And she what now? It never stopped her. And she brought forth a what? A man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. That word caught up in the Greek means to be seized. Now, brother and sister, today, God is trying to seize His many-membered body today to bring Him into the place that He can trust Him with the power of God. And I don't want to cuss the second day of the meeting, but we had a big guy that came down the mountains in Lopodissima. And great big guy, 300-something pounds. And you know, Spanish people don't get that big, but this one did. Pushing people over. I said, but sir, we don't push them over. We hold them up and talk to them. I want them to know what God is saying, what God is doing. He said, well, I don't like that. Well, forgive me. Forgive me. Because listen, folks, it's not a pushing over. And let me tell you something. I'm not doing a courtesy drop for none of them. I'm not doing a courtesy drop. I weigh 175, but he's going to have to be big if he pushes me down. And I ain't doing a courtesy drop for nobody. Brother and sister, if it's not God, it's not God, and there's nothing going to be accomplished. I don't care what kind of drama play you put on or whatever it may be. If it's not God, it's not God. I want to see the Lord high and lifted up and His train filling the temple today. Now, so, notice, caught up to the throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Now, and there was war in heaven. See, there's a controversial message, and if y'all don't believe that, I just give y'all the benefit of being wrong, you know. I always believed that there was three high arching angels. Number one, there was Gabriel, there was Michael, and there was Lucifer. And I know that there's a controversial teaching around this thing that Adam was loose. Because Adam, loose is a Spanish word for light, la luz. And I know there's a teaching, but I still believe that there's three high arching angels. Lucifer said, I will be as God, I will be as the Most High. And he wrote out and said, 5 I wills. Then Michael comes along, who is a war angel, and he said, who is like our God? Come on. And then Daniel 12 prophesied and said, in the last day, Michael will stand up. What's happening here now? Michael, that war angel, is standing up with a company of overcomers. Hallelujah to God. And what is he saying? And Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel and prevailed not. Neither was the place found any more in heaven, for the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice in heaven. Now, it says a loud voice. Every once in a while, when it's in the wintertime, and we're not running the air conditioner in that big Ford diesel of mine that's got the camper on it that runs into Mexico and out, that I sleep in, that my air conditioner in that camper is worth $5 million. You said it didn't cost that much. I think it cost $600, but it's worth $5 million. It keeps me cool. In 102-degree weather, it keeps me cool. And so, anyway, we're riding along in this diesel. And when the air conditioner is not running, if you sit over a mumbling on the other side of the seat over, I can't understand what they're saying. And I said, look, if you're going to talk to me, speak up a little bit. You said, well, you're getting old and getting hard here. No, I'm not. I want a clear voice. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. I want to be in a position that God can talk to me, deal with me, and bring me to the place that I need to be brought to. I'm looking for the very heart of God. But I know first before I find His heart, I've got to find His feet. I've got to locate His feet in this earth that I can bow down to those feet and worship and pray and get everything in order that I can receive the fullness of God. I repeat again. Brother Henry, have you ever cried out to God, God, bring me to where you can trust me? I won't take nothing for myself. Let me tell you something. Why did I see so many miracles in Mexico? My brother, they don't have Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It's God or nothing else, or the graveyard. It's God or the graveyard. And you said, well, listen, I am in the jungles. And if they break a leg, they don't have a crutch, they have a stick. And that stick's on their leg. And they're walking with that. You see where we're at? And, oh, many years ago, and I had a little problem with ego. Of course, you've never been there. And so, a lady brought a baby to me that, I don't know what the medical term, but it has that big water head. And so, she brought that baby to me, and we laid hands on the baby, and the baby's head became normal just like that. Woo! They hardly had any house in Texas big enough for me. Come on, let's tell the truth. There wasn't hardly any house in Texas big enough for me. But you know what? It didn't take God long until He punctured that balloon and let that air out, because He let me fall on my face. Come on. But now, as I've grown older, there. I said, now, God, bring me to the place you can trust me with everything that you are, and I'll still take no glory for myself. Oh, hallelujah. We're finding a key that we can come into where God has destined from the beginning that we come into. This third son, this corporate son. Are you understanding me, or my delivery so poor? Do you understand me? God is after that finished product. And we're starting this Bible college up now. We fought, and sometimes that Bible college, I tell you, it has been a Jonah to me. And so, but now we got a superintendent ready to take over and everything, and so everything's going to start rolling. But you know what? We've had a struggle with it. But guess what? We're going to see students come out of there, and they're not going to be teaching tradition, but they're going to be teaching the Word of God. Come on. Now you say, what are you talking about? How many remembers that Zechariah and Elizabeth were past age? All right? And there was a messenger angel named Gabriel that came into their presence, and he said, how shall this be? Because we're old. We're old. He said, but I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I've got a message for you. Come on. And, of course, she said, well, Elizabeth said, you know, we've got to follow tradition. And we're going to name him Zechariah Jr. Is that right? So, John, he goes dumb. He can't talk. And I said, God, if we can't talk of the kingdom of God, let us go dumb. And so, oh, John, get them a writing tablet. He said, it ain't going to be Zechariah Jr. This is a new move of God. His name is going to be John. Now, brother and sister, I'm not wanting any tradition. I want to see the move of God in the earth to bring forth the order of God in this earth. Hallelujah. But you see, we still have to deal with tradition, don't we? There's a seed that's coming forth that's going to bruise Satan's head. Now, everybody got seat belts. Fasten them tight. Would it be all right if I talk to you a little bit about Caleb and Joshua? Here is two men that stopped the aging process and stopped time. Is that right, Brother Henry? Stop the aging process. I'm just as well and able today as I was 45 years ago. Here is old Joshua. He speaks to the sun, and the sun stands still, and the moon backs up in the valley of Ajalon. But why did they do that? They had another spirit, and they wholly followed the Lord. So what's wrong with us now? Come on. Let's follow God. Let's see the Lord high and lifted up and filling the temple today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. If we don't move heaven, we're playing church. And it will never set groaning and travailing creation free if we don't move God. And I've traveled with ministry, young ministry, great ministry, speaks a good word, but they don't move the heavens. And guess what? I have 15 acres of land in Oklahoma, and because, you see, I'm a fisherman. How many knows that God loves fishermen? Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen, wasn't they?
Yep.
How come He loves fishermen? Because we fishermen can tell how the biggest one got away. Is that right? Oh, I had a 20-pounder, but he broke my line and he got away. Peter, James, and John, Brother Henry, said the big one got away. Death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold him. His name was Jesus. Come on. Now, how many of us today are going to see the Lord? I'm not waiting. I'm seeing Him. So then, I said, well, I'll take that 15 acres, build my dream home, and I'll take care of the work in Mexico. So, we start getting floor plans, and all of this is getting it together, you know. God spoke to me and he said, you're starting a program that I've got nothing to do with. How can we work outside of God? So today, I've already read the book, but see, I tried to pass it on. Ecclesiastes says there's no discharge from this war. So that means I don't get to retire. I just got, when I get to 80, I got to refire. But I got to wait till I get to 80. And then I can refire. But hallelujah to God, I'm not interested in quitting. I'm not interested. I said, Norman, throw away those plans. They're not value for nothing no more. Only God is all the value there is.
Amen.
I knew I wasn't long-winded. Now, notice what he says. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angel. Prevailed not. And the great dragon, that serpent, all right? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. I don't know about you, Brother Doc, I can't do this as good as you do it. Day and night. How many knows the enemy is working both shifts? The other night, you think you got a problem with me now. The other night I woke up, a man was present that had been in the armed forces. He says, Brother Bill, last night you started off speaking in tongues in your sleep, and then you started preaching in Japanese. I don't speak Japanese. But you see, the Bible tells us that diversities of tongues belongs to you and I. So, but then, and on the other token, at night, there are many times the enemy tries to torment me. Because I'll cut him to pieces in the daytime when I'm wide awake. But at night, he wants to torment me. Accuse me of doing things that I haven't even done. Accuse me of saying things that I haven't even said. And then I will fight with the immigration officers because I've been doing this for 33 years in the country of Mexico. You say you just built 18 churches? Yes, because we're truthful. And there's people all around this area and also Oklahoma and Texas and different states, Carolinas and all, has been with us in the country of Mexico. And we've done what we feel like that we could do with the money that we've had. But we've tried to be good stewards for it. But I want to tell you something, folks. He's not going to let up on us. Brother Doc, who's sitting right back at that table, he and Sister Brother Glenn, Brother Doc, and Sister Glenn, they stay in my house every year. And Brother Glenn, I got you a brand new bed that you're going to be proud of this other day. And put it in your room just for you and Sister Irma. Now, but here's the thing about it. Brother Doc, I went over to the house, I think, to get something out of the freezer to take to the church. Brother Doc set one of my dining chairs over there and said, Brother Bill, would you sit here in this chair just for a minute? I want to pray for you. He said, Brother Bill, those witch doctors and many things has been sent to tear you down and to destroy you. He said, I want to break them off from you. And I sat down in that chair, and Brother Glenn and Brother Doc, and I believe for sure, was it Brother Jim there too? And Brother Jim, her husband, was also praying for me in my home. Brother and sister, I never get to the place that I don't need you. I need you every day of my life. And just like a little lady from this place right here, she came up to me and she says, Brother Bill, I can't go with you, but I'll be your intercessor. I'll hold you before God. Well, listen, isn't that help? And you know what Brother Doc told me some 3 or 4 years ago? He said, Brother Bill, I was in my office and all of a sudden said, God gave me such a burden for you. And I just closed the door, got out on my knees, and I began to pray for you. Listen, isn't that wonderful that we're connected to the body? We're not a maverick out there on our own doing our own thing, because we've come under covering, we've come under submission, we've come under the authority of God, and therefore God gives us authority. Listen, folks, let me rephrase again about Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I stood in a bad street in our church, baptizing my granddaughter. And all of a sudden, Brother Henry, they said, your grandchild is 4 days old. I felt of the Spirit of God, and they gave it to me in this diaper. Said, Poppy, we want you to baptize it too. And I felt not to do it. And I reached in that baptism water, and there's not no salvation, and there's not no blood in that water. And I'd like to rephrase right here, right now. There is so many people that's got all the emphasis on the water, and they need to get it on the blood. I appreciate what Brother said last night about baptizing. We still are old order. We still baptize in water. I know that there's some got to where they don't do that no more. But we still believe we need to follow the footsteps of Jesus. And He said, I need to be baptized. And so that's what we do. But you know what? I took that little baby because I learned from Brother Doc, Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. I held Henry in my arms, 4 days old. And I said, I break every curse of the ancestry curse. I break everything off from this child right today. 4 days old. And you see, the years had went by. And Brother Henry, I didn't know about that. But I learned that here in Bible camp. So you see, well, you just come and preach. I come to learn. And brother, when you get to the place that you can't learn, you're on your way out. Now, I want to give us one more scripture. See, I told you I wasn't long-winded. All right, go with me to Revelation chapter 14. Now, remember there was a sign, but now let's look in 14. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion. What was the theme of our lesson today? Due season. I believe it's time, don't you? How many remembers John chapter 17, verse 1? And Jesus cried out in the priestly prayer. When Jesus prayed, I know people teach all the time He prayed in Matthew, you know, in 6 there. But the priestly prayer is when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had before the world was. Then He turned and He says, and the hour has come. The hour's come. And I believe that due season has come for every one of us. Brother and sister, it's come for me and for our church and for our churches in Mexico. And I appreciated Brother Henry last night because I don't like for Brother Jack to ever talk about, you know, that he might be leaving us or something like that. Now, also, I must understand, the burr is not in my boot. It's in Brother Jack's boot. And I can sit over here and I can blab it and grab it because the burr's not in my moccasin. But I don't like for Brother Jack to ever mention that either because I love this man so dearly. I even took him a cup of coffee to his room this morning. You said, well, you mean you did that? Yes, sir, I did that, and I can do it again. You see, I only wear a crown in the throne room. I wear a towel here in the earth. I wear a towel here in the earth because I know where I came from, and I'm on my way back into where I came out of. I'm on my way back in because, you see, Jesus' side was never closed. Adam's was, but Jesus wasn't. I came out of God, and I'm on my way back into God. So now, let's notice.
clothed with the sun. All right? And I heard, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. As I travel around in ministry, people see that I know a couple of scriptures. They start asking me, Brother Bill, what do you think about the mark of the beast? I said, I ain't even worried about it. Don't even never think about it. It don't bother you? It don't worry you? I said, no, sir, not at all. Why don't you worry about it, Brother Bill? Are you afraid you're liable to take it? I said, no, sir, because I'm going to have the Father's name written in my forehead, which is the mind of Jesus Christ. And, brother, I'm not going to worry about the mark of the beast. I'm going to have the mark of Christ in my forehead. Hallelujah. He's going to lead me, guide me into all truth. And they said, you mean that don't bother you? No, sir, not at all. Not at all. Because why? I have, and I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 16, says, but ye have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be you, which was also in Christ Jesus, in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But God had given him a name above every name, and has highly and exalted him. Hallelujah. So, you see, this is where we're at. 144,000 up on Mount Zion, and the Father's name written in the forehead, which is the mind of Christ. Now, Herod, Pharaoh was after the first son. Herod was after the second son. Now the dragon is after the corporate son. After the seed. You see, if he can deal with the seed. And by the way, I learned a secret a long time ago. My little granddaughter, she's so pretty, and she tells me now all about Jonah, and I tried to mix her up, and she says, she looks over to Norma, she says, Granny, Poppy's trying to confuse me. And so then she's got all the miracles of Jesus on video. She got the treasures of David on video. And she runs her own VCR because she's got a little stand and she hooks up her own VCR. It's already hooked up, but she puts the cassettes in it. And I try to tease her and to see whether I can confuse her or not. Granny, Poppy's trying to confuse me again. And all the time she's got that down, because as Moses was a proper child, under the circumstances, I believe my granddaughter is going to be a proper child. Because why? I learned how to get it in on ground floor and start it off right in the ways of God. And so we broke those curses off from her. Now, let's notice here, and then I'm going to close. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Did you hear Brother Henry said last night about the harps, talking about it? And they sang. You see, Revelations is a brand new song. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Redeemed from the earth. I believe after last year being my worst, best year of my life, I believe that I'm walking in a greater dimension of redemption than I did before I faced last year. And last year, because, see, I already learned about Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah's adversaries drove her into the presence of God. Right? And so, if we will allow it, trials, tribulations will bring us into the presence of God. But you know, so many times, we won't allow God to in-work His life in us. But that's what he's after. He's to inwork his life into these true tabernacles, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now, let's read the rest of this and then we'll close. All right? Now, these are they which are not defiled with women. Now, that means religious systems. Did you hear Brother Henry saying last night about not following after the traditions? There's, in Fort Worth, we are a city that we nearly have a church on every corner. And one of the wickedest places in the world. So what does that tell us? The church is not doing its job. Come on. That's why we own all the way to 26th Street. But you know what? We don't need another church over facing that other street. We need where we're at today doing the works of Jesus. That's what we need. And brother and sister, it's going to have to start in the under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ in that church. And that's me. That's me. And brother and sister, come on. Don't you tell me that we don't have what we want. Whatever we want, we get it, don't we? All right, whatever we want in God, we can have it. If we'll pay the price, we can have it. God's not going to shortchange none of us. All right? Now, and this, notice what they said. All right? And these follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Amen. These were redeemed from among men. Uh-oh, that's another thing that's happened. They'd redeemed from the earth. In other words, they've been hand-picked. And I don't know about you. When I first started out, I was going to make a son out of everyone that come in the doors of that big church of ours. But Sister Mildred, coffee, it didn't work. Because there are some that's not destined to be there. Paul said in Corinthians that every man in his own order. But I thought, Lord, they're candidates, so let's, I don't know no difference. So let's make a son out of them. An overcomer. And the first thing we knew, they began to take detours and going from us. Then they take another detour and go from us. Well, they start out this way. Your worship, sir, you heard Brother Glenn said that we, with the psalmist, was at our place. You worship too long. You preach too long. Well, we didn't do anything right but serve good food. They said, boy, your food sure is good. But you preach too long and you worship too long. Do you hear that? That's the truth. Amen. Now, these are they that are redeemed, what? From among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, and there was they were without fault before the throne of God. Would you stand with me, please? Father, this morning, as we come boldly into your presence today, I curse every root of every incurable disease that's in this room today. By the delegated authority of the Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord, we command every root to die up from its roots in Jesus' name. God, that everyone in this building to be made whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, according to your word, be it unto us today, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.